Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Well, hello, welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. This is Tom LeComp.
And I'm Gavin Durson, and we are really glad that you're with us here. Man, we've been doing a lot of these episodes. There's quite a few of them out there. If you're new, check out some of the older ones. We've talked about a lot of things related to house church and simple church, organic church, and perhaps you have some questions that you're looking for.
We're approaching episode 60. We're not quite there yet, but we're between 50 and 60.
Yeah, so awesome. Go back. I mean, if you've got a question, I was just thinking, you know, we try to keep it fresh and address some different topics, but golly, some of the things we talked about, like when we first started, are still every bit as important and relevant today, and they're probably some of the more basic questions people have when they find this podcast. So search through the archives, check some of those out. Hopefully you can find them through the different topics and titles listed on here.
And give us some feedback. We say this every week, but write us an email or leave a comment on our pages or even record an MP3 and send it to us.
Yeah, we'd love to. We could share your experience, your testimony, or your kind of what God's doing in your simple church. We'd love to play that on the podcast and let other folks hear it. So record it on your phone, email it to us. And you can find our emails at keepitsimplepodcast.com. And you can get a hold of Tom or myself or find our different Simple Church Network websites via that. So please do that. That'd be awesome. And we've never had anybody do that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you, Gavin.
Oh, boy.
And I know you can answer it because you're all wise and knowing. But tell me why it is, even within the Protestant denomination, why there are so many denominations around us. Why is it that there's not just one Christian church? Why do you think that is?
Well, you just threw that one on me with no preparation. But because you know I'm all-knowing, I'm wise.
And handsome.
Okay.
And talented.
We better stay away from that. That's not very fun. Okay. So I would say this, Tom. I think, and this is just, my first answer. I may come back to regret this later. We may have to edit everything I'm about to say out. I think there's a lot of different ways you could approach that topic. I mean, you could say human sinfulness, human selfishness. You could say it from that. But, from my perspective, I think that you cannot separate the implications that come from thinking of church and organizing church denominations in the first place under the idea of an organization that has people in positions that need protecting, people in positions that are supported, when the church operates less like a family and becomes more like an organization that has its own set of rules in addition to the Bible, or they take the Bible and they've gone ahead and decided on maybe some issues that they know for a fact this is what it means, and if you don't believe these things or you're not willing to go along with these things, then we can't keep you in our church or our organization because it would reflect poorly on this entity that we've created. Then you start having people creating new entities that do stand for this and new entities, and then they form a board of directors and they form their creed and they form their set of principles and version of what the scripture means and things. So, I think that's a big part of it. If you think about a family, if I don't agree on every single thing with my brother, my literal brother, well, we're still going to be a part of the same family.
Yeah,
I'm not going to kick him out of the family because he doesn't see something the same way that I do. And so, but I think when, in our day and age, like if we have a denomination or, you have a particular church, like, and there's certainly a lot of issues that this is going to continue to happen more and more, when we have things that you know, we have to protect our image. We have to protect and make sure that people know we, quote unquote, believe the Bible, or that we're, you know, we don't want anyone reflecting poorly on us.
Right.
Then other people are not going to feel welcome, and then they're going to go and say, well, I'm going to start my own organization where I am welcome. And that's, I think, what happens. You know, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. So is it just as simple as birds of a feather flock together, or is there more to it? Are we all reading the same Bible and coming up with different conclusions sometimes, or is it that is it personality? Is it what is it that and I'll give you an example. When I'm speaking with someone from another church, you know, sometimes there's like, well, you don't do this, or do you believe this way, or, you know, how do you think this is going to pan out, you know, or do you have this gift or that gift? And you know, when we disagree on those minor issues like that, there, you can't help but feel a little bit of tension, like, well, maybe I'm wrong, or maybe he's wrong, or, you know.
Yeah.
We're not agreeing on these little things, but and I don't think we ever will completely.
Well,
but where is it that we have to agree in order to be called brothers and sisters in Christ?
Yeah, I think
that might be a more
appropriate
question.
And I think that, you know, sometimes, like, I'm also, well, to kind of speak to that, I think that it's somewhat of a, it's somewhat disingenuous of a thing sometimes to say, well, look at all these denominations in this town. There's 360 churches and different, you know, if Christians really were loving each other and they were unified, then why do we have to have all these things? Well, that's somewhat not really the case either, because there is a lot of unity, I think, even amongst denominations, you know. And even within churches, I mean, golly, you know, even though the leadership sometimes may not want to admit this or be proud of this fact, which, you know, there's churches here in town that have people that believe differently than the pastor, and they're still going there, and they've, you know, they're not kicking them out. I mean, so I think there is a lot more unity sometimes than people even give credit for. But I think for, you know, I think a lot of times, like, people believe that unity means uniformity a lot of times, and it really doesn't have to mean uniformity, you know.
That would be a boring world if we were all the same.
Yeah, and in fact, and I think that unity does not mean uniformity. In fact, in simple churches here in our network, there are simple churches that do things and believe things that I don't necessarily believe or agree. And I think sometimes you're tempted to say, well, we can't associate with them because I don't want other, might reflect poorly on me. I don't want people to see, hear about what they're doing and then think, you know, this is the way we think when we're trying to protect an image or an organization. We can think, well, I don't want people to see them doing that and think that I'm agreeing with that, so therefore I got to disassociate myself with them. But when we look at it and we come around this idea of, well, what are the essentials? Can we agree on certain things, and can we still have fellowship and disagree on a whole lot of other things and be okay and still have fellowship? And I've just moved to a place where I really want to be in that position. And it's unfortunate. We've had folks, and I've seen folks who they want everyone. They're willing to say, okay, it's not even good enough to say, well, even in our simple church, we really believe strongly these things. And so if all these other simple churches that are coming, you know, are networked together here in Lexington, if they're not going to believe all those other things too, then we can't be a part of this.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. And that happens on a group level. It happens on an individual level.
Yeah.
And it's funny you even asked me that question, because, I mean, we've gone through some stuff, my wife and I recently too, where it's just like, man, it's like, people, there's non-essential. I guess the bullet test is what comes. I think we've talked about
that.
We've
talked about the bullet test. That's good. Yeah.
You know, that to me is a great.
What is the bullet test?
Well,
again?
It's essentially the idea of, you know, if someone put a gun to your head and said, you know, renounce your belief in this doctrine or this particular aspect of the Christian faith, or I'm going to pull the trigger. I mean, what issues would you be really willing to die for, or what issues would you have to say, you know what? whether it's some controversial issue about music or whatever, it's like, well, I'm not really sure I'm willing to die for the conviction that if you play music in a church meeting with an instrument, you're going to, you know, that's sinful and you're going to hell and God's upset at you. So I think I can renounce that belief rather than die, you know. But if we look at the, there's a lot of issues. It really much dwindles it down to maybe just a couple, if not just one, of what is the real thing.
And those, I think, are centered on Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, and you know, how we are rightly related to him.
Yeah. So, and you
it's
know,
pretty simple after that.
Yeah, and if, you know, and I would hope that even if someone didn't agree with that, we would still be able to have fellowship with them and friendship with them, you know.
Yeah. Well, so. I think there's a line that we have to say, you know, beyond this line, I'm not real sure that, you know, we're talking about following Christ, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the, but, you know, when I'm thinking of the scriptures where in John 17, when Jesus prayed for the disciples, you know, on the night before he was crucified, that's a long chapter and it's a very great prayer. And he prays for at least three things, but three things in particular that stand out. He prayed for his disciples that they would be sanctified in the truth, set apart in the truth, and then he says, thy word is truth, or your word is truth, which means, you know, we're the thing that sets us apart is we believe the truth of God.
Yeah.
Then he says, send them. So like you sent me, so send them. So that means we have a job, we have a mission, we have something to do for God's mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, make them one like we are one. And that's where the unity comes in. So, you know, sanctified, sent, and same. That's how I remember it. I think the unity comes from the sanctification in the Word. In other words, if we're studying, reading, believing God's Word, we're going to be the same. And then we're going to see what God's mission is.
Yeah.
And we're going to go and do it. And I got another scripture I want to read to you. This is from Romans 15th chapter 5 and 6. This is Paul. And this is like one of his benedictions to the Roman church. He says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a couple of things out of that passage. Our harmony is in accord with Christ Jesus. And our harmony, when we get along, when we're unified, we're actually giving glory to God. And when we're disunified, we're showing disunity and discord.
Yeah,
that's certainly not bringing any glory to God whatsoever. In fact, that's where people come and say, you know, why can't you all agree on anything? Or why do you have so many views on this? Of course, when somebody's seeing that, they're seeing the disunity. They're not seeing God.
Yeah.
And we're not reflecting God when we're not in harmony or in unity.
Well, and I think we've made it, you know, because of what we've done in the history of church and in the church. And, you know, we fractured off. We always fracture off. Like, we don't ever, like, I think it's a, I think the world is looking for a church that is willing to, how do I say this? Like, I think I think that for the church to be unified does not mean that we're going to believe every single thing. And the word, and Satan is always, and I don't think God wants the church to necessarily be that way, that we're all just, we all have this same uniform view on every aspect of him. There's no mystery anymore because we've all figured everything out and we all are in agreement about these things.
Yeah.
And so I think what happens too is that the world and the enemy, who is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy the church in people's lives, he likes to somehow take natural differences and mystery that maybe is not that big of a deal in God's eyes, and make it into saying, "Now look at those Christians, like they can't even agree about these things, you know." And he puts that lot, and you know, if God was real, then why aren't they all in agreement? They can't even get along, and that's not really maybe what's happening. Now that has happened in the past, and certainly there's been, you know, anger, and there's been, but like I think, you know, I just think about myself right now, like. I don't necessarily feel that I'm not unified with, as a me personally, or even our simple church, like with the vast majority of Christians in our city.
Right,
like,
right.
I think we sat down, they came in here and sat down at this table, we would be like, well, we kind of look at things a little differently, but man, we all need each other. Let's pray for each other. Like, I'm excited for what God's doing in your life. I'm excited for what he's doing in your all's community and your church. And even though they're different, you know, I think there is still a sense of unity. That doesn't happen a lot. So I think there is a lot, you know, I've certainly ran up against some very divisiveness.
Exactly.
And you know, it was funny, the other day I was out and we did a little thing on the 4th of July, and we had some neighbors come over, and there was a neighbor that came over, and I've talked with her before, and I know that, you know, God's doing some things in her life. I also know that she's probably, you know, a different end of the spectrum politically and socially on a lot of issues than me. And she asked me, she's about our simple church, so she was like, you know, well, what do you all believe? Like, you know, I knew kind of what she was wanting to get at, like, who do we not let in, you know, is kind of what she was getting at. And I, you know, it was kind of interesting when I said to her, and I kind of thought about it since. I was like, you know, and I think if the whole body of Christ could kind of come to this, this might be a good, maybe it would be a good place. And I said, you know, we're a community of people who believe that we desperately need Jesus, and we desperately need to find out about him. And one of the ways we learn about him is through the Word. And so we come together, we have differing views, but we're all here together because we're here committed to this idea that Jesus is our only hope. And he has revealed himself to us in his Word, and we're going to look into the Word for the answers to every question that
go.
We have.
Sanctify them by truth.
And if you can get a group of people together, and if we as the body of Christ, I think, could come and meet at that place, there is unity. There is unity upon that position, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
The hard part is just, when, like I said, when other people, they're not maybe willing to look at it that way. They've already figured certain things out, and they want you to. It's like there's a
right.
fence. You're either in or you're out.
Tests.
Yeah, and they're not. And it's not at that. It's and you believe this, and you don't want to have fellowship with people that do these things and these things. You know.
Right.
So I don't know. That's just kind of, I think, where I'm at with it. But
me too.
I know that
I can't fellowship with anybody with a skateboard, but you know, beyond that,
I can have, or a tattoo, you know, or that like punk rock music,
or rap, you know.
Yeah,
I can't fellowship with rappers. I'm sorry.
I think it was, in all seriousness, it was one of the, we did a fellowship where we talked about, you know, this has been a really kind of an interesting thing for me. We talked, I think, about a centered set thinking versus a bounded set thinking, and we talked about that in a previous podcast where it's kind of
I don't remember that.
Well, it's just kind of the idea of, like, you know, I think a lot of denomination and a lot of churches tend to kind of look at the world as there's this. They've got a fence, and you're either inside the fence or you're
right.
out. And
right.
that fence oftentimes is not determined necessarily by biblical truths. It's extra biblical things.
It's like
dress
a
code,
hinge.
Types of music. Of course, those people think probably that it is biblical in those situations. But regardless, there. Whereas, like, another way of looking at the world would be to say Jesus is at the center. People are scattered all over the table here, and it's the issue is, which way is their heart directed? Is their heart turned towards Christ? They could be a mile away, but their heart is directed towards Christ, and they're running towards him. And someone
right.
could be inside the fence, quote unquote, but their heart is not even following Jesus. It's actually pointed away from him, and they're just moving away from him slowly.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's, if you think about it, more of like this scattered out, and people are either
like
moving
that.
Towards Christ or they're moving away from him. Then it gives you the opportunity to look and ask, you know, look at people and ask the Lord to show you, like, is this person pursuing Christ, or are they not pursuing him? And they may have all these things in their life, views politically, socially, that are different than mine, and, you know, but is their heart, are they moving towards Christ? You know, can
yeah.
we trust him to this person to Christ, that maybe some of these issues that we want them to believe and think like us on, can we give that over to the Lord and say, keep following Jesus, and trust him to sort those things out in their heart and life, rather than us creating this boundary that says, if you don't believe like this,
right.
then we can't have fellowship with you.
Yeah.
You know? And I think there is, obviously, if there is a line at some point, you know, we don't know where it is. In some level, there is this idea that either you've been born again or you've not been born again. But it is a process, and I think thinking in that way kind of gives more deference. It gives more
in or out.
Yeah, yeah. Rather than inner, it's more you give more, I think, to the realness of that. You know what? It is a process, like for a lot of folks, and for me personally, you know, even before I was a Christian, I can see God doing things in my life, drawing me to Him. There was a moment, certainly, when I entered into His kingdom, but even now, beyond then, sanctifying and growing closer to Him, like there's a continual flow of growth.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, they're way outside that mark of what we would consider to be acceptable, you know, but they're growing. God's clearly, if you look and see and you ask the Lord to give you eyes to see, you can see, man, this person is pursuing God. Like, God's doing something here.
So I'm thinking of the internet. I'm thinking of Facebook. I'm thinking of forums and even the forums and the Facebook pages that say, we're all about house church. We're all about organic church and everything. And yet you read some of the comments and everything. You know, some of it's good. A lot of it's really reflects the disunity that we see. And I, you know, try to imagine how would I relate to this person who's writing this stuff? Would I be able to welcome them into my fellowship? How would I deal with that? And another thing is, you know, all of these comments, all of these discussions and trolling and snarky comments and everything, you know, is that glorifying God? Like Paul says, you know, our unity will glorify God. Doesn't mean we don't have to agree on every little issue, but, you know, some of the way these things are being written and, you know, there's definitely not glorifying God, or there's not accord in Christ in some of these things. So I just want to exhort all of us, including me, you know, let's work towards unity, you know, in Christ, you know, not in uniform belief, like you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's, you know, except where it counts, you know, centered on Christ. But let's work towards unity.
Well, I just think, you know, it's funny you bring that, because I've just had some very recent issues with some of that. You know, I don't know exactly how I handle that a lot of times. I mean, there was a friend of mine who, you know, he posted some really disparaging things about Christians, and I just sent him a note and said, hey, I'd love to meet with you to talk about these things. And then someone else sent, I posted that under there, and someone else sent me, I never even met. It's like, hey, you know that Christians are responsible for all the death in the world and all the, whatever, you know, all the wars of the world. I mean, I was like, I don't even know this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not about to. And so I sent him a personal message. I was like, look, I'd love to meet with you and talk about these things. Yeah. This is important stuff. And, you know, I think I just think that the Facebook social media is not helping portray. It is not helping with projecting. And there are some folks, like, I just think, you know, my thing, and I want to encourage everyone out there, like, look, if you. I don't know. Jesus's way was through relationship.
Right.
I mean, he spoke up publicly, but he was in the presence of people when he spoke these things.
Yeah.
And when you go on, you know, Facebook, these sorts of things, it's not a good forum for
unity. Yeah.
I think you can ask questions, you can share thoughts and ideas, but I think the hard part for folks is that we're never really completely aware that our audience, like, who is your audience? When you post something on a message board or on Facebook, your audience is not that person who posted it. Your audience is everybody. It's the world. And I think we would do ourselves a great favor to think about that and to keep that in mind, to think that, you know, you're going to be talking to some, you're going to be sharing, you're representing Christ, and you're essentially saying this to someone who could be very wounded by the thing that you're about to say, by someone who said that to them to their face. You know, it's like there's just an etiquette there, I think, that the Christian community is trying to figure out, and hopefully trying to figure out. I know I am, because I know also it's like, man, you don't want to, you know, unity does not mean that you just, you don't, you don't disagree ever. I mean, you know, yeah. like you don't like.
You have to stand up for.
You have to stand up with truth. Like, yeah, it doesn't mean we just lay down.
Right.
But I think that relationship always needs to take the case. Like it's like the family thing. You know, it's like I'm not going to kick someone out of my family. I'm going to love them even if we disagree. And we got to figure out a way to do that. And the best way to do that is across the table, or in their home, or in across the table for some coffee. If we can do that, you know.
Right. And when I speak of unity, I'm speaking among believers in Christ.
Yeah.
We're obviously not going to have unity with everyone in the world.
Yeah.
If we did, we'd be compromising everything.
Yeah.
But we are. We, you know, the scriptures admonish us.
Yeah.
Let's have unity one with another. Let's encourage one another. Let's and this brings glory to God.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good deal. Well, these are questions. We like to throw out these questions. If you have an answer, if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. We're obviously not going to solve all these problems or answer all these questions. They are a mystery. But we do feel like we know where the answer comes from, and that's through Jesus Christ. So if you have some comments, if you have some questions you'd like us to talk about, give us a message, give us a comment, send us an MP3, keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also reach us on simplechurchalliance.com. Is that right?
Yep, simplechurchalliance.com. That's right.
Simplechurchalliance.com, keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's best ways to reach Gavin and I. So it's been great talking with you today.
See you next time.
Hey, this is Tom LeCompte.
And this is Gavin Durson from the Keep It Simple podcast. Tom, I got a question for you. What are you doing on August the 29th and August the 30th?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to the Simple Church Conference, which is going to be held in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yes, you are, and I hope that you guys out there are going to be there too. We're really excited to be welcoming back Tony and Felicity Dale. They came to our very first ever conference we hosted. It was actually in northern part of Kentucky near Cincinnati 4 years ago, and they're coming back. And man, it was an awesome conference then. We're excited to have them back. They have been very encouraging to myself personally, my family, and a lot of us here, and a lot of people all over the world that are planning house churches and simple church type movements and seeing multiplication happen. And they've been a real leader. They founded House to House many years ago, and a magazine that was distributed really throughout the world. And they're still at it. And I know you're going to be blessed if you can get here. That's August the 29th and August the 30th, Lexington, Kentucky, Simple Church Conference 2015. Go to simplechurchalliance.com, simplechurchalliance.com, and you can register online, get all the info, all the details. Cost is only $25, and that will include two continental-type breakfasts, nothing too fancy, pastries, donuts, coffees, and also a nice catered-in dinner. Lunch will be on your own on Saturday, but we kick it off Saturday morning at 9, and we'll be done Sunday around noon. Hope you can join us. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and there's really no substitute, Tom, for seeing and people that are doing this sort of thing face-to-face, interacting with them, and getting that personal connection.
Yeah, you might be wondering, how do I get started with Simple Church? If I could just meet somebody that could help me, this is your weekend to come and meet someone that can help you, just talk it out, give you some encouragement.
Or even if for those of you that have been trying it, I know for us, this is always a big shot in the arm. You know, a lot of you folks may be giving this a go. You're discouraged. And we want you to come too.
If nothing else, just come see the beautiful Central Kentucky area, see the horse parks, see the people. Come and visit us.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you. Again, it's August 29th and 30th, 2015. SimpleChurchAlliance.com to register. That's the Simple Church Conference 2015 with Tony and Felicity Dale. We hope to see you there.
Great. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.